Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
And then we said, I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. But in reality, Abraham, I think he only had two kids, right? Did he have more after that? Is that with Keturah? The other way? Okay, see, I didn't get that far in my recent reading. But in his time with Sarah, in the time that he was trying to fulfill the promise of God in his life, he had two sons. Last week, we talked about Ishmael, right? We talked about Ishmael. Let me grab my Bible with my notes over here. But he talked about Ishmael, and Ishmael was what we do sometimes when we think God is not working fast enough, right? We try to do it on our own terms. Okay, God, look, I don't know if this thing is working, so God, we're going to make some moves, right? And sometimes we do that. God, you told me this, but man, it doesn't seem like it's working. Let me try to figure out how to make it happen, right? And most of the time, the men is like that, right? Because we don't want to be waiting on something that we got to just go up and make it happen. But Abraham and Sarah teamed up and said, it don't look like it's going to work the way God said, so I got a plan B, right? And how many of you know that plan B? There's nothing wrong with making multiple plans, but when you're making plans outside of God's plan for your life, it's going to cause friction, right? It's going to cause problems, okay? Now, it was great that Abraham had a son, but how many of you know that Ishmael didn't get along with the promised child? He didn't get along with the promised child. The mom that had Ishmael didn't like her mistress. She didn't like her. They had problems. She almost ran away one time, and God sent her back. Then I'm not even going to get that far because we're going to read it today. But sometimes making our own plans outside of God's plans are going to backfire. And what that really says is we are not trusting God's plan anymore because His plan might not be working for us, but guess what? God's plan is always working. Amen? I think sometimes the biggest part of God's plans that works the most is patience. Right? You ever had to be patient for something, waiting on something, and it didn't seem like it was going to come? But patience is part of God's plan because patience means I'm trusting on God. Right? Now, we've all failed on the patience test, right? I failed on the patience test. If you got kids, they fail on the patience test with you, right? So we do the same thing with God. God, it's not happening fast enough. God, I need this to happen. I need that to happen. But guess what? Patience is part of trusting in God's plan. Amen? Let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. Dear God, I pray to God that you would speak through me, oh God, even show me more than what I studied, oh God, more than what I even understand, so that your spirit will speak to us, oh God, and that we could walk in obeying and trusting in your plan in our life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right. Had to set up my hotspot real quick so I can get this thing working. I wonder if they had hot spots back in the day. Anyways, like I said, that's kind of the main thing we were talking about last week is trusting God's plan. And we're going to continue in that. I think that we're going to actually go ahead and read some more of Genesis because I think Abraham's story, a lot of people, we look at the people in the Bible and we don't recognize the things they did wrong unless it was somebody that just had a bad rep, right? When you look at Abraham, some of us are like, Abraham, That was, God chose him to run the country, right? But there was things that Abraham did that caused problems. But even God still used that because he still was trying to stay connected to God's plan. It's interesting. I look at some of the stuff he did, and we're actually going to see some of his repeat offenses, as I call them. But before we do that, the key scriptures for this series that we've been going over is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Amen. That's key. Trusting God with all your heart and leaning not to your own understanding. A lot of times, your own understanding is going to get you into trouble. Because some of the things that God reveals to us, we will not fully understand right away. Some of the things, it's going to take a while for us to understand, right? But God's plan is to just trust him, even with the things you don't understand. Jeremiah 29:11 is the other key scripture for this series. And it says what? Can you go ahead and bring that up for me? For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. That when I had my sister-in-law, she was younger than us, when she lived with me, this is a scripture that I poured into her, right? When she was in the bathroom, this was on the mirror. I posted it. Like, if she opened the door, it was there. Why? Because I wanted her to know that God had a great plan for her life. Amen? And I do that even now. Tell people that are looking, I don't know if this is working. I don't know if God has a plan. Guess what? He has a great plan for your life. And you have to accept it. Amen? So, last week, the last thing we talked about was the promise continuing to be fulfilled to Abraham. But let's go to Genesis chapter 20. And if you want to do some recap, we do have this on podcast. If you go to newcreationwa.org, you can hear the whole series. But I read Genesis 15 basically all the way through. This week, I'm going to read through 22. But today, we're going to start at Genesis chapter 20. Is that all right? If somebody asks you, is that all right in church, they always say, yeah. That's just how it works. Is that all right? We're going to be here for 3 hours. Is that all right? They're like, oh, amen. Somebody said that, but we ain't going to be here that long. All right, here we go. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now, Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Now, we heard this before. This is the second time he did this. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. And now, look, Sarah is 100 years old, right? Just about. She's 90 right now. And these people are still trying to get at her. Abraham is like, man, she just tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me. Now, this is very interesting. As I keep on studying this, what this is a lack of trust in God for Abraham, right? You guys see that? Because he hasn't even had the promise fulfilled yet. So when he comes to this land, what is he doing? He's saying, look, my life is in your hands. This is what he tells his wife. My life is in your hands. If you don't tell them you're my sister, they're going to kill me, right? So one, he's not trusting in God's plan for his life. Number two is, he's putting his life in her hands instead of God's hands, right? And this is what we begin to do. Sometimes in life, we put our trust in people more than we trust God, right? We see it in churches where they have pastors and people, oh, pastor, I'll do anything for you. And God is just saying, clean the bathroom. But that ain't what the pastor said. I got to do this. You're trusting that pastor more than you're trusting God. And what begins to happen is if that pastor says something that's not in the word of God, you agree with it, right? And it begins to be more trusting that man than trusting God. What is that called? In the old days, they called it idolatry, right? where you had another God. This is why it's very important, and I strongly encourage each and every one of us to read the Bible for ourselves. So when somebody comes and says something that is not God, you recognize it. I don't understand for the life of me how mega churches can have a pastor who says something that is contrary to the word of God, and everybody's just saying amen. Why? Because they don't study. The Bible says, study the word to show yourself approved. A good work, a righteous workman, able to divide truth from error. Amen. So what is that saying? It's important for me. Everybody say, it's important for me to study the word. We got to study the word. Let's keep on going. It says in verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, now this is important because Abimelech knew who the Lord was. That's important because you can't talk to God like this if you don't know who he is. Said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also? Now, this is the same thing Abraham said about the righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? So we see this is a repetitive action because these people have a relationship with God, and they recognize what the righteous is. Amen? It said, did he not say to me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocence of my hands, I have done this. And God said to him in a dream, yes, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. For I also withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now, therefore, restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. And he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours, okay? Now, this is very interesting because from this, Abraham is promoted. You guys recognize that, right? Abraham is promoted from just a godly man to a prophet, right? I don't think it ever said he was a prophet before this. And we can go back and look, but in this, because he was in God's plan, even though he still had faults. And guess what this tells us? We're still going to have faults in trusting in God's plan. This is the grace of God that he gives us. And somebody that doesn't believe that grace was in the Old Testament, this is a clear example. Not only for Abraham, but also for Abimelech. He gave him grace. He said, okay, yeah, I understand. Cool. I'm going to let it slide if you give her back. Right? And he warned her. Or warned him. But the grace of God allowed Abraham with his faults not only to be promoted, but to continue to walk in the plan of God. Amen? Now today we have this, and we can look back at the scriptures and say, okay, maybe I shouldn't make that same mistake. I'm not going anywhere and telling somebody that my wife is my sister. I'm not going to make that mistake. Okay? But we might make a different mistake. Right, I mean, sometimes when we look at the Bible, we look at these people as perfect. They weren't. They were just like us. Some people look at people, oh, if I could just be like Paul, guess what? All you got to do is write some letters to some people. Right? And now you can blog. You could do the same work as Paul. Don't make a new Bible. Okay, don't do that. But write some things that will help people go search the Bible out. Amen? We are still the same kind of people. God didn't use special people. They were just influenced by the Holy Spirit. Amen? So let's keep on going. So Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their hearing, and the men were very much afraid. And Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, why have you done this to us? Have I offended you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done deeds to me that ought not to be done. Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you should have done this thing? All right. And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place. So what did he do? He made a mistake. And he said, and they will kill me on account of my wife. But indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Now, obviously, we don't do those type of things now, right? This is when they didn't have too many people. All right. But it said, and it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this, now watch this. This is something that he did even before he got there. They already had this set up. All right. So this is what he says. But before I even say what he says, sometimes we have things in our life that are set up that we repeat over and over that show that we are not trusting God's plan. Right? If it gets bad, oh, I got a backup plan. I can always go over here and make some money. Is it legal? Well, it's not illegal, right? We always have those backup plans that are in our head and they're ready to be going, but we got to get rid of those. Amen? Because Abraham, as we see, this is something that would have been a repetitive history for him. He said this, and it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother. All right? So when he left, when God told him to leave, this is what he told his wife to do everywhere they go. Interesting. But it was something that he had in his mind, just in case it wasn't going to go the way he wanted it to go. Right? All right. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, and male, and a female servant, and gave them to Abraham, and he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah, he said, behold, I have given your brother. Now, this is funny how he said that. He probably was hot. I gave your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and female servants. Then they bore children, for the Lord had closed up the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now, we always see the Bible as chapters. We don't know how long he was there. You got to think of, she could have been in the house for 2 years. We don't know how long it was. But obviously, multiple women couldn't have kids at that time, so it had to take some time, right? So Abraham could have been just chilling like, oh, Sarah, writing melodies, and I wish I could see Sarah, right? I wish we didn't tell her that this was my wife. But God promoted him because of God's plan for his life. Amen? And what this shows us, too, is that we don't deserve all the plans that God has for us. The number one plan, which is salvation, none of us deserve. We all should have been dead and gone, burning in hell, because hell is the ultimate separation of God. God is not there. So to make it seem like we deserve heaven and deserve the presence of God, no unrighteous man can get there. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen. And I'm going to say this, as I was talking about the radio show I had, there was these Mormons, and they came and talked to me, what day was that, Friday, and, you know, that was Thursday. At first, I was like, man, I don't want to talk to these people, right? So we end up talking, and, you know, they start quoting scriptures. I'm like, hey, man, cool, yeah, right? And then, you know, so I tell them, I tell them, whatever God was leading me to say, I talked about all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus died before, he said, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And I also talked about the Holy Spirit. And they're like, yeah, we believe in the Holy Spirit. Right? And it's so funny because if you don't know what they believe, you're going to think they believe the same thing. And this is important why you know the Bible. So we end up talking, and I told him when Jesus died, he tore the veil, which was a separation thing that they had in the temple. In the temples of the old days, only the high priest once a year could go be in the Holy of Holies, right? And when that happened, when he tore the veil, now all men could have a relationship with God through accepting Jesus Christ and being empowered with the Holy Spirit. So then they said, and this is the switch, well, the world was wicked, in need of a prophet, right? Because no man could see who God was. But I already gave him that. I already gave him the Holy Spirit and all that. And I said, well, I don't want your book. Because that's what they were trying to do. Joseph Smith said this and da-da-da-da. But and then they read something from there. And I said, hey, that upholds the Bible. But I don't need that book to uphold the Bible, because the Bible can sustain itself. If your book just upholds that, why do I need it? You know, and I was very respectful with them. I was just trying to see how they got in it. But what am I saying is, we have to trust God's plan, and part of God's plan for us is believe in his word. Amen? And not just believing his word, but knowing his word. So when somebody comes and attacks his word, you know how to not react in the flesh, because we can all do that. You got a problem. Oh, we could take it there. We could go there. But that's not what we should always do. Sometimes we should have good conversations with Islams, with people who don't believe in the gospel, with Buddhists, with Hinduists. Why? So that their faith is challenged, not your faith. Now, see, some people won't do it because their faith will be challenged. Oh, are you meditating enough? Oh, I didn't know how to meditate. Well, the Bible says, meditate day and night on the word of God. So what are you meditating on? Right? Oh, I'm meditating on being a better person. That's not what the Bible says. But we have to make sure we know what the word of God says so that we can be geared up for it. Amen? Let's go to Genesis chapter 21, the very next chapter. Genesis chapter 20, I call that the patterns of disbelief and operating in fear and not faith. But this chapter, Genesis 21, is the promise fulfilled. Okay? And the Lord visited Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, and at the set time of which God had spoken to him, and Abraham called the name of the son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. Now this is very important. I think I talked about it a little bit last week. But God's promise included his wife. Amen? Why do I say this? Because some men or women of God think that the call of God that they have is just for them. Right? That's what they think. But the call of God is for, if you're married, there's a call on you and your husband, women. If you're married, there's a call on you, man, and your wife. And if you think, oh, I'm just going to do this spectacular thing by myself because God called me. He didn't even tell my wife. He didn't give her clarity. Guess what? That's not God. Because God doesn't leave. See, this is the thing, the powerful thing about marriage and God. God's word says that when a man leaves his mother and father, the two shall become one. So you should operate in one vision, one purpose, one ministry together. Amen. And when I say one ministry, I'm not just saying prayer ministry. What I'm saying is in oneness together, because that's what God desires. Amen. And I mean, we got so many things in the world with marriages that everything is separate. We watch HDTV a lot. And what all the men want, what do all the men want? A man cave, right? Now, what's a man cave? That's a room where the women don't come in, right? I need that separate place. And the women, what do they want? The closets, right? And the pretty closets and the makeup room or what all that. That's what they want. As long as the closets are good, the women are pretty cool. But if the men, if they're actually leading in this situation, if the man cave is there, they're getting that house. Right? And, you know, we see men and women that are married have separate bank accounts. Now, there may be a time where that could work, right? But you should have your stuff together. Amen? And maybe you have to put a spending limit on somebody, right? I actually knew a couple who, one person, they always spent the money, and they were like, look, I'm going to handle all the money, all right? You can't spend, this is your allowance. You can spend this. Why? Because that was a wise thing. Amen? So use wisdom, but we should be together. Amen? All right, verse 4 says, then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. All right? Now, remember, he was 75 when he left the land of his fathers to go to the place that God had promised him. So his promise, just the first part of the promise, took 25 years. Right? And some of us be tripping about 25 days. We've been there. But when we see some of the things that Abraham dealt with, 25 years for the promise of his, the right son being born. Because remember, he made plans for himself and said, we need to, well, Sarah said it, it's not working over here, Abraham. My maidservant, she can give you a kid, I know it. And they had that kid. But that 25 years, that's a long time to trust God's plan. We've been waiting for God to do things in this ministry for a while. And that doesn't mean he hasn't did some things already. The thing I love about people when they come in, they say, man, I can feel the presence of God in this place. They ain't met us from anybody. Oh, we just walked in and God, why? Because God is drawing you because of the praying that we've continued to do. From just being in relationship with God. Amen? And our relationship with God, it will show. Yesterday I was at a concert. We do a lot of Christian hip-hop concerts and stuff. We were in, I don't know what the area was called. It was right before the UW district over there, like on the Ballard side or something. Fremont area, that's exactly what it was. Huh? So we were in the Fremont area, and while we were leaving, this guy that I see a lot, he was like, man, you had a heart of God. He just comes up to me and just, God, you have a heart of God because you sit here and listen to me, you know, and he's like, a lot of people don't do that. And I was like, you know, sometimes when people say that, it's going to be a long conversation, right? But I was like, amen. I mean, why do I listen? Because I want to see what's going on with you. And I want to be able to impact your life so that you know that God is in me. But not only that you know that God is in me, but the same God that's in me is in you. Amen? You know, sometimes people don't think like that. They think, oh, he's that super Christian. Once again, there's no such thing as a super Christian. Really what that shows you is that they're connected with God. Amen? And if you plug anything into an outlet, well, don't plug anything into an outlet, but if you plug a power source into an outlet, it will receive power. Amen? When you are plugged into God, you receive power. Amen? And the Holy Spirit is that part of that power. Matter of fact, he's the dynamite in that power. He's the spark to that power that you have to have. So the Holy Spirit will tell me, like, sometimes I see people and I feel like there's something that they have to say. Like this week we prayed for the brother at the gym. The Holy Spirit asked me to ask him, what's going on in your life? Why? Because I could have just said, hey, man, how you doing? I'm going to play basketball. I'll see you later. But I wanted to be able to impact somebody. Amen. We have to get to that place where we are willing to impact people. Amen. Let's see, where are we at? Verse 6. And Sarah said, God, somebody say God, has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. All right? She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. Now, this is interesting because Sarah, at this moment, this is probably blowing her mind. Why? Because she didn't believe this thing was going to happen. Right? And what does it say? Sarah, even sometimes your wife is not going to believe what God has told you. But you don't let them continue to walk in disbelief. You have to speak belief. God told you, God said this. And just imagine what Abraham had to tell her. She's 3 months pregnant. Well, God said it was going to happen. Oh, no, I'm just having stomach problems. You know, they didn't have ultrasounds back then. How did they find out they was pregnant? When they was having a baby? Right? Right? I mean, just imagine she's 90 years old and her stomach is something, whoa, baby moving in there. But sometimes they didn't know what that was. But God was able to fulfill his promise 25 years later. This doesn't mean that God is a slow promiser or he's slow to his promise. He can move fastly, but guess what? God has to get you ready for that promise. Amen? People don't want to get ready for the promise sometimes. God, I just want it now. Your kid wants a car right now. My son, he wants to drive right now, a real car, but he can't touch the pedals, right? And even when some kids can touch the pedals, I remember when I first started driving, it was a scary thing. Now, I love to drive, but when my dad was like, get over, boy, you're going to hit the curb, you know, I was like, oh, snap, you know, your temperature rises real fast because you don't want to scrape the car up, right? But as you continue to get older, and guess what? When you first start driving, you're not getting that nice car. Right? I had a car that was the same age as me when I first started driving. 16 years old. And that car worked for a while. Brother Quinny ended up giving this to us. Gave it to me, so you know how the car looks. Right? He wasn't driving it. But why do you get that? Because you have to be ready. You have to progress. And it's the same thing in trusting in God's plan. He gave Abraham snippets of the plan. Even along the way, he told him how it was going to happen. This time, okay, well, that you made that move, but that wasn't it. Because I'm going to have the son through Sarah. And God, even Abraham was like, come on, God. We done did that already. It don't work. Right? It's not working. Okay? But he continued to trust God's plan. Amen? Right after that, Abraham, basically Hagar and Ishmael, they leave. And I'm going to just go ahead and read it. It says, so the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now, we don't know how old these kids were when they were weaned. Is there like a Hebrew age that they would do this? Weaned is like, so my daughter, she's asleep now, but she's 2 and a half, and usually when she's weaned, that means she's no longer having to have milk, right, or bottles. Yeah, coming off the bottle, right? I mean, she still is not weaned, because if I don't give her a milk bottle, she's going to have a problem, right? So, I mean, let's just say, it's 5 years old. We don't know how old this is, but we know that this is something that they typically did in the Bible. Waited for a child to be weaned. That way they can get all the nutritions that they need. What verse was I at? 8, verse 9. And Sarah saw that the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. Somebody say scoffing. Now, what is that? Making fun of, even picking at, fighting possibly. He was trying to, he didn't like the new child. Why? Because he thought he was the promise. Just think about this. Ishmael, the firstborn of Abraham, not through his wife, though, right? Because you see the same thing with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, with Joseph. Jacob was, Jacob had 12 kids, but his, what is it, 10th? Was through the wife that he wanted to marry who couldn't have kids, right? And that was the place that God sent the promise through Joseph. And we know Joseph had a great story, but he also had a great time, and I think I might do Joseph's story next in trusting God's plan. But when we look at this, God had to get rid of this person because he was attacking the promise of God. Amen. Why did he attack the promise of God? Because guess what? As you do things in your own strength and you start making your own plans, remember the Bible said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. But when you lean to your own understanding, it's going to cause backlash. Right? It was, and at this moment, we see it. And at this moment, they had to do something about it. Verse 10 says, therefore, she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. Now, remember, this is still his child, right? Now, this is the first time in the Bible we see baby mama drama, right? We see it. This is why the Bible, you should only be married to one wife, right? So in this moment, Abraham is torn because he has two children by two different women, and one of them is his wife's maidservant because they made plans on their own. And at this point, since they didn't trust God in that instance, it is causing problems right here. And now his wife is like, get him out, get her out, or I'm leaving. Probably, that's probably what she said, with Isaac. And he can't do that because he already knows this is the promised child. And Abraham wants peace in his house like most of us want, right? The Bible says it's better to be on a rooftop than in a house with a quarrelsome woman. So guess what? Tents didn't really have too many roofs. And he was like, all right, we got to get this right. So verse 12 says, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight. So this is the thing. Abraham had to go pray once again. Okay. He had to pray. So God spoke to him. Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. Now, how many men have heard this from God before? Listen to her. God said that. Well, I thought the man is supposed to be, you know, they're the leader. Guess what? God will speak through your wife. Amen. I didn't make that up. It says it right there. It said, listen to your wife. And God said that plenty of times. All right? But it says, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of your son of the bondwoman because he is of your seed. So God still blessed him. Right? Some people would say Ishmael was, oh, he was the child, the father of all these other nations and stuff like that. God still preserved Ishmael, right? Now, after a while, it might have got worse, but God preserved Ishmael. Amen? Then it says in verse 14, so Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and skin of water and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up. And she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. So what is she about to do? She's about to do something, right? For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite to him and lifted her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Now it's interesting. It didn't say that he heard her voice. He heard the voice of the lad. Why? Because this kid is the heir, is a child of Abraham. So there's a connection that he has with God through his father, right? And if you look at this in the Old Testament, it's interesting. A lot of children, they said the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Why did they do that? Because they were following in the footsteps of their parents, and they didn't know the name of God. But they knew that if I trust in the same God, I saw that God that my dad prayed to, right? I saw what he did. So God had touched this child, amen? And then it says, verse 17, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of the heavens and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is, Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. This is the promise that God had for Ishmael. Amen? So some people think that, oh, just because Ishmael was gone from Abraham, there was no promise. But like I said earlier, God has a promise for all of us that are connected to him. Amen? Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. He dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. All right? I think I'm going to close there today. But we definitely want to continue to see the promise of God unraveled in Abraham's life. We see that now, but we're also going to see what happens next. Because sometimes when you get the promise, guess what? Once the promise is there, that promise is going to be tested. And in Abraham's story, we see it. And a lot of times, the things that happen in our life, we're tested on what God is going to do, right? We are tested, but God is still going to speak. And he's even going to allow us to be challenged in believing what he believes or the promise that he has for us. Amen? So let's go ahead and stand up. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, dear God, for number one, the promise that you have for us. The first part of your promise was sending your son, dear God. And we accept what your son has done for us. Dear God, we accept that you sent him and he died for us, dear God, and forgave us of all our sins and our iniquities, all the things that we've done wrong. Dear God, and we just pray, dear God, that we walk in the fullness of who you've called us to be. Dear God, everything that you called us to do, dear God, as we see Abraham, dear God, trusting God, and even some of the faults he had, dear God, we pray, dear God, that we would learn from his faults and not walk in those same paths. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.